Well, welcome. God bless you all to another Wednesday night fellowship. I love you all and good to have you here. Before we get started, I want to announce a weekend in God's Word. It's coming up January 26th through the 28th, so mark your calendars. If you're interested in coming, the registration deadline is the 31st of December, but I'd like you to do me a favor. If you're coming, please let Marilee Talley know. She's putting on the weekend on her own, and I'm the guest teacher for the weekend. So if you would let her know, let's see. Her phone number is 713-298-6953. That's 713-298-6953. And on my website, speaktomefather.com, there on the home page, if you will scroll down, you will see upcoming events. If you will click on it, it will take you to all the information about the registration. So that's a weekend in God's Word in Katy, Texas, January 26th through the 28th. That's Friday night through Sunday noon. And it'll be at the Hilton Garden Inn there in Katy. And their hotels are available, one on one side of the parking lot, one on the other side. One is at the Hilton Gardens. That's $129 per night. And the Country Inn Suites is $79 per night. I've stayed there. It's just as nice as the Hilton Gardens, I think. And the information is on my website. So if you will do me a favor and let Marilee know if you're coming and register as soon as possible, that would be wonderful. Okie doke. So that's all I got about that. If you have any questions, you can give me a call. So let's have a word of prayer, and I'll turn it over to Greg, and we can do manifestations before the teaching. Father, thank you for your great love for us, and thank you that we can walk with you and talk with you, and we can just enjoy the fellowship and the love with one another. Thank you for the peace that you've given us in Christ. And for a wonderful night tonight in your word. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, Greg.
Tolly Jerguis, would you please speak in tongues and interpret?
Got to unmute, I think.
Maybe Tolly and Jackie forgot to become guest speakers tonight. So I will.
Yeah. Okay.
Gandorositi apadarabakohondi agantarisutu abakata sandi abogotorosi daria mandoroso candaligotoro. Gandarisiti abogotorosandali abogotorosondo. My beloved children, know that I am your father, and I care very deeply for you. I care about every detail of your life. I am with you all the time, and I am for you all the time. So speak to me. Talk to me. Talk everything over with me, and you and I can figure it out. And Judy Miller, would you please speak in tongues and interpret?
Kiabono lo rostro shatara miendo lo kuyanda eristishi mi to, aki mi antoro le esta sha poke, mi anda sha, aki mi a social lo mi et alarm yondo, aki amo to sho, keri esi mi koro. And have no fear in your hearts, but my peace, reigning supreme, because I have united you with myself, you are one with me and my son Jesus Christ. He has paid for your sins, And there is no cloud of darkness or condemnation over you. You are free to come unto me at all times to fellowship, to enjoy my presence, to experience and know my love, to rely upon my strength and that Spirit of God within you.
Thanks, Judy. And Marcia, would you bring forth a word of prophecy?
Hesitate never to come unto me, for I'm a faithful God, my children, and that which I have given you is faithful. Therefore, you can walk forth each and every day with confidence, for you and I make a majority in every situation.
Father, thanks for your great love, for your wonderful mercy to us, and for the fellowship that we can have day by day. And I thank you for these things and a wonderful evening in your word tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Well, take your Bibles and, as usual, go to Romans 8. Tonight we're going to talk about God's great love for you. And I want you to think about his great love for you as we read about how he called us. I'm going to read you several verses about our calling. The word call and calling and called all come from the same root. Kaleo, K-A-L-E, long O, is the verb, and it means to invite or to name. To name, N-A-M-E. The noun is klesis, K-L-E, long E, S-I-S, and it means calling or invitation. And the adjective kletos means called or invited. So those are the three words. Look at Romans 8, verse 28. And the King James reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are what? The called, according to his purpose." Nestle Allen translates this, they're Greek scholars. "We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." I think that's a beautiful translation. "We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." And then it continues in verse 29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." And I've told you before that predestinate simply means that things were determined beforehand. So he determined beforehand for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Man, think of the love God must have for us if he conformed us to the image of his Son. It just blows my mind. Then it says in verse 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate," or determine these things beforehand, "them he also," what? "He called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." In Romans 1:6, take a look at that. It says, "Among whom are you also the called," the text should read, "in Jesus Christ." It's a genitive of relation. "Among whom are you also the called in Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God." Look at that. Beloved of God. Called saints. Kletos. Called saints. That's just unbelievable. We're called his holy ones. We're beloved of God. I don't know how the adversary gets away with getting us to think so lowly of ourselves at times. But he does. But in all of this was done at God's direction because of his great love for us. Don't forget that. Look at Romans 3:24. We read in Romans 8, called and justified. In Romans 3:24, it says, being justified freely by his grace. Grace is his divine favor. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're justified freely by his grace. And then we also read glorified, didn't we? Well, look in 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned, and what? Come short of the glory of God. All came short of the glory of God, and in spite of that, he glorified us, it said in Romans 8. Just unbelievable. We were dead in sin, without God, without hope. We were enemies of God. We came short of the glory of God. And in spite of anything that we did, he called us, he justified us, he glorified us. Look at Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 24. Even us, whom he hath called, there it is, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And he saith also in Hosea, Osi, it says here, I will call them my people, which were not my people. What does he call us? His people. And her beloved, which was not what? Beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. That's what God had in mind when he called us. He named us the children of God. He called by name my people, and he calls us beloved. Wow. How great is his love for us? Well, you can look at 11, chapter 11 of Romans, and we find a great truth I'm so thankful for. It says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God is not going to change his mind about you. Isn't that wonderful? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, without a change of mind. God is not going to change his mind about you. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were what? Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that word fellowship is koinonia, K-O-I-N, long O-N-I-A. The word means sharing. What do we share in? We share in his accomplishments. He was the firstborn and we're conformed to his image. The Father gives us all things with Christ. We are heirs together with Christ. will be glorified with Christ. We share all of these things and much more with Christ. God blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. So God called us to the sharing of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's translated sharing, it's communion, it's fellowship. I forget all the different ways, but that's what it's talking about. And even if you read the context of chapter 1, you can see the many things that we share with him, because it's all by our Lord Jesus Christ. Every verse speaks of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to have to start using my new Bible. These things are just falling apart. 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his what? Of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in who? The saints, his holy ones. That's us. Look at that. He wants us to know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Look at chapter 4. All of this in the calling, the invitation that he gave us in Christ. Chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body, there is one spirit, even as you're called, and what? One hope of your calling. And he wants us to know that. Look over at 1 Thessalonians. We have a hope of glory because of his great love for us. No other reason. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath what? Called you unto his kingdom and glory. We all came short of the glory of God, and look what he did. He called you, he gave the invitation into his kingdom and his glory. We have a royal invitation from the king himself into his kingdom, God Almighty. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you, how? By our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? He called us to the acquisition of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be glorified with him. Isn't that unbelievable? We will be conformed to the image of God's Son. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And all of us came short of the glory of God. But in his great love for us, he has given us that hope of glory. Look at 2 Timothy. If it wasn't for his great love for us, there'd be nothing but death. We'd live this life, and then there'd be the grave and corruption, and nothing past it. But because of his great love for us, we have a hope of acquisition of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? 2 Timothy 1, I'm almost there. 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now look at verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, as King James, before the time of the ages. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Can you imagine that? How many Christians just work their tails off to get God's approval? People think that they can be healed by doing good works. They think they can get their prayers answered by doing good works. No. It says in Corinthians, what do we have that we did not receive? Everything that you will ever get from God is by his grace, by his divine favor. And we receive it simply by believing it, by having trusting confidence in the information that he reveals to us. That's believing. Then we just walk out on it. We receive by believing. It's ours by the grace of God. Look at 1 John. I don't know, when I was studying today and I was looking all these verses up, it just blew my mind how great his love is for us. Just looking at the calling. Look in 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Look at that. Behold. That's that figure of speech, asterismos. It's an attention getter. It's the same as amen and amen and verily, verily. Here it's behold. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And called here ought to be named. God calls us the sons of God by name. Look at that. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be named the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. They killed him, right? Beloved, beloved, verse 2. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How much love does he have for us? Enough to make us like his son. When he appears, we shall be as he is. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes, I know, I just don't take into consideration just how much God loves me. He wanted all of this for me. He wanted everything for us that we've read about. Look at Ephesians 1:11. Most people, instead of God extending their hand of grace to them, they think they live on his backhand. He's just ready to clock them up beside the head or something. That's just not true. Behold the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It doesn't even say God. It says the Father hath bestowed upon us. Oh. Ephesians 1:11. In whom, Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. It should read, we were chosen, being predestinated, having things determined ahead of time, according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. So in spite of our works, in spite of coming short of the glory of God, in spite of being dead in sin, in spite of being His enemy, behold the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that He named us the sons of God. And look at this. It was all according to His purpose. He wanted to do all of this for us. He purposed it. He accomplished all of it according to His own counsel, of His own will. It was His idea. It was His heart to justify us and forgive us, to reconcile us, to make atonement for us, to save us, to glorify us with Christ. It was all His purpose, all His will, and He did it all by His counsel. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. He's not lacking in mercy. It's just not enough mercy to get us by. He's rich in mercy. Rich. Do you see it? He's rich in mercy. And look at the rest of the verse. For His great love wherewith He loved us. His great love with which He loved us. God doesn't just haphazardly use words. It just doesn't say that God is loving. He's declared to have great love with which He loved us, and He's extended that great love to us. Well, how great is great? He uses words with great intention. Well, as a matter of perspective, let's look back to Isaiah chapter 55. How great is great to God? Isaiah chapter 55. We're reading words that He had written from His perspective. So Isaiah 55, look at this verse. This will give you some perspective on how great. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, how high are the heavens? How high do they reach? Who has a telescope that's seen the end of heaven? No man has seen the end of the heavens. That's how much higher His thoughts are than ours. If He says great love, you know something? It's greater than you can possibly imagine. I'm going to give you some verses that'll provide you with some insight into how much higher His thoughts are and how great His love is for us. Let's go back to Romans. We'll just let the Word say it for me. Romans chapter 5. Because nobody knows any more about the things of God than He reveals to us in His Word. So we've got to get to the place that we take God at His word. If He says something, that's precisely what He means. Romans 5:5. And hope makes not ashamed, or does not does not, I can't read my own writing. It's talking about disappointed expectation. Hope does not disgrace by disappointed expectations. There it is. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, pneuma hagion, which was given unto us, which was or has been given unto us. How much did God love us? He gave us Holy Spirit, the gift in the new birth. Now we're alive before Him. Now we have a spirit-to-spirit relationship with Him. That's how much He loves us. It doesn't disgrace by disappointed expectations that hope we have, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the gift of Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly. It sure wasn't according to our works. We were the ungodly. For scarcely, verse 7, for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet sinners. We were dead in sins. And Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath, the wrath of God, through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. The word atonement means reconciliation. Look at that. How much higher are God's thoughts than ours? How great is His love for us? Look at what He did when we were dead in sin, His enemies. Look at that. Look at the Gospel of John. How great is God's love for us? I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around this. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's great love. I remember when I delivered my son, and I delivered my daughter. When they came out, I just couldn't believe how wonderful it was. I can't imagine offering them as a sacrifice for people that were my enemies. It's hard to believe. But God showed us His great love. He went to those lengths for you and me. Look at 1 Corinthians. How great is His love for us? 1 Corinthians. And people talk about their good works and, oh, they're going to earn this and that and such a bunch of crap. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says in verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Look at that. you know, eyes and ears are how we gain information. It's how we learn. No man knew these things, which God has prepared for them that love him. Look at 1 John. God, epistle, 1 John. How great is God's love for us? That's what we're looking at. 1 John chapter, what did I say? 3. We read 3:1. Let's read it again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called or named the sons of God. Now look at chapter 4. That's quite a privilege right there, wouldn't you say? That God was name us his sons. That's pretty amazing. Chapter 4, verse 9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, it's the same word translated mercy seat in the book of Hebrews. It's the place that the reconciliation is done. His Son is that place. He's the propitiation for our sins. That's love. Just amazing. Romans 8 again. It's pretty great love, I'd say. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it goes on, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're cast as sheep for the slaughter. Question? Nay. And all these things were more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, here it is, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How could anybody go around condemning themselves and thinking that God doesn't love them? To think that God has cast them off, that they somehow did something that makes them unacceptable to him now. Boy, they bought a load of crap on that, I'll tell you. Look at Titus. It couldn't be further from the truth. Look at his great love for us. It started when we were dead in sin, ungodly and enemy of God. Look at it. And look how much he loves us now. Look at what he's done for us. He even named us his sons by name. He named us beloved. He named us his children. He calls us beloved. Just don't listen to those religious folks. It's not true. You are who God says you are. And he says you're beloved and you're his child, and he named you his son. End of story. Look at Titus chapter 3. This says a whole bunch right here. Chapter 3, Titus, verse 4. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Look at that. Kindness. It's the kindness of a daddy with his kids. The kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Hey, and didn't we read he was rich in mercy? Oh, it's just pouring out of him. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's speaking of the gift of Holy Spirit, the new birth, which he shed on us, how? Abundantly, through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by your good works, nope, by your genealogy, nope, by your standing in position, nope, therefore being justified by his divine favor, his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's how great his love is. All of this was his idea. When you read these words, they're just not some men writing off the top of their head. It's not their ideas. It didn't come out of their minds. God revealed this information to them by revelation and said, write it down. This is the good pleasure of my will. This is my counsel. This is my heart. Look at Ephesians 3. How great is his love for us? Well, we're getting close. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is he holding back on us? It doesn't sound like it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Look at that. How great is God's love with which he loved us? It passes knowledge. Look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. That's divine favor. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What a verse. His love extends through the ages for us. It started with the new birth and his great love for us, even when we were dead in sin. But his great love for us makes us alive with Christ, raised us up together with Christ, made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, verse 8, and that's salvation, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man alive, that's how great he loves us. Remember his great love with which he loved you when you pray. That's why we can ask him for his help. If you understand how great his love is for us, prayer is, it's duck soup. It's no problem. Because you're simply talking to your daddy, to your father. That's right. What did Irma call him? Pappy. You're just talking to Pappy. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Remember his great love with which he loved you when you pray. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Oh, it's his will. Give him some credit. Have confidence in him. We should expect God to answer our prayers. Why? Because he said if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and he grants us petitions. Give him some credit. Have some confidence in him. Look at Ephesians. Remember his great love when you pray. You don't have to beg him. You're simply talking to your father. Daddy, daddy. Abba, father. Hey, dad, I need some help here. Could you help me out? That's it. Daddy, daddy. Hey, father, I need some help here. Could you help me out? I know what your will says, and I'm asking you according to your word. I'm taking you at your word, father. So thank you by your grace that you give me that help. That's it. And you pray until you get your answer. But if you sit there and you keep talking like you're sick and you keep confessing that you're less than what his word says, don't expect to get anything from it, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're going to believe God, you've got to take him at his word. When he says he has great love for you and he's done all these things for you, then if you're going to believe it, you simply have to say it. Say it with your mouth. Say it in your heart. Be convinced of it. Give him some credit. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Have confidence in him and expect him to do what he says he's willing to do. Do you remember those Israelite birds? They left Egypt, and they were headed to the promised land. But they never quite got to the place that they took God at his word. Time and time again, when God said, hey, I'll give you water, no, they wanted death. God said, I'll give you manna from heaven, no, we'll take death. We'll go back to being slaves in Egypt. Unbelievable. You read those records, and they're there for our learning. He gave them his word, but they never took him at his word. He's given us his word. We've read it tonight, how greatly he loves us with great love. Believe it. You're that highly favored in his sight. He's made us members of his own household. And he did it according to his own counsel. by his great love. All of it was his idea, the good pleasure of his will, his purpose, his calling. Look at Ephesians 1. So just don't forget that when you're praying, as you walk with God, when people ask you to minister to them, have confidence in him. He's the one that made it all available. He's the one that energizes his spirit in our lives. He's the one that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that promised to lead and to guide us. Take him at his word and walk on his word. His love is that great. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, how many did he miss out on you? Oh, none. How did he miss out on me? None. We all have all of them. He's blessed each and every one of us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ. Verse 4, according, that's a standard, as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Put a period there. How do you stand before God? Holy and without blame before him, in his presence. New sentence. In love, there it is, having determined ahead of time or beforehand, us unto sonship. The word adoption is ouiathesia. H is silent in the Greek. There's two ways to be placed as a son. One is by birth, one is by adoption. And Jesus Christ said in John 3 that we would be begotten from above. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So having determined beforehand us to have sonship of children by Jesus Christ to himself. What's the standard that he did it? According to the good pleasure of his will. Look at that. As we walk with him day by day, as we live our lives, we've got to remember his great love for us. All of this was done according to the good pleasure of his will. He didn't, when you were saved, he didn't eke it out for you and you barely made it. He didn't just barely show you mercy. He was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved you. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. That's in Christ. The word accepted in Luke, when God sent the angel to deliver the message to Mary, he saluted her, "Hail, highly favored." Highly favored. That's that word, accepted. He made us highly favored in the beloved, in Christ. Look at that. We're dearly beloved and highly favored in his sight. That's how he thinks about us. Live that way. The good pleasure of his will, his purpose, his calling, his great love for you, he did it all by his own counsel. Believe it. You're that highly favored in his sight. He made us members of his own household. Pray like you're his beloved and you're his highly favored. favored child. Remember Ephesians 2:18? Look at it. Talk about prayer. Why can we pray? Because of this. For through him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You've got a line into his headquarters. You've got access by one Spirit unto the Father. How are we supposed to utilize this access? Look at 3:12. In whom, Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness. That means you can speak freely with him and access with confidence by the faith of him. We got that freely too, didn't we? So when you talk to him, because you are greatly beloved, because he's given you access, then speak freely with him. That's the boldness. And realize you've got access with confidence in Christ. Look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. You've got access that we may obtain mercy. He's rich in it. And find divine favor to help in time of need. He's the one that had the words written. He means what he says. You're no different than the Apostle Paul or Peter or any other believer. You are dearly beloved and highly favored in his sight. Pray like you're his dearly beloved and highly favored kid. That's right. You need healing? Go to him. He's the one that said you were healed by his stripes. He meant what he said. He said it. Take him at his word. Think of yourself as he thinks of you. Live as the Son of God he named you to be. Look at Hebrews 13. You're wonderful. Look at 13:5. Let your conversation, that means your manner of living, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is for us. He's always with us. You're never alone. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Don't believe those religious zealots that try to convince you otherwise. They're liars. They're deceivers. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. He is your what? He's your helper. Who says so? He did. Take him at his word. Look at 1 Peter 5. First Peter chapter 5. How great is his love for us? It says in chapter 5, verse 7, casting your care upon him. No, it doesn't. Casting a care upon him. No, it doesn't. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. He said it. And he meant what he said. He had it written precisely as he meant it. He will never leave us or forsake us, so we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. He said so. His great love for us is the reason for all of this. That's why I spent so much time reading you verses. It's all because of his great love for us. That's the foundation we walk on. God loved you. He called you. He justified you and forgave you. He redeemed you. He reconciled you. He saved you. He even glorified you with Christ. That's how great God's love is toward you. Now just go out and live like it. Live like the Son of God that He named you. Father, thank you for your goodness and your great love for us, for your wonderful grace, and for a great week for your people to walk with you. Thank you for healing their bodies, those that need it, for giving peace to those who are disturbed, Father. Just cause the anxiety in people's minds to settle down. And may we, Father, just hold our thoughts on you and your great love for us, your rich mercy, your great grace that you've showed us on Christ. Thank you, Father, for sound minds, for spiritual growth this week, and just show us great things in your word as we go to you. And thank you, Father, for all these things through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Good night, and God bless you. I love you, and you're wonderful. Have a great week.